Hey, everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And for the last year and a half, I've just been an isolated boy with no social life. Except for this podcast.
Except for, in Clayton's case, I think it's been his entire life. We now know why Annalie doesn't want to have sex.
Listen, first of all, my best friend's remote now, you know?
That's true. Mine too.
I still have sex sometimes. But listen, I take back anything that I may have or may not have implied about it being concerning that Annalie didn't want to have sex with her future husband. I take it all back. This dude is like, I mean, I've never seen anyone more opposite of sexy in my entire life in every possible regard. He's worse than Paul. Paul, at least, I feel like would be freaky.
Yeah, maybe in a way that would not be good for us.
I take everything I said back. Never mind. I started thinking about that.
I'm worried.
Done. I quit podcasting. Please write down the time. Write it down.
I did, but I think I'm going to leave it in just for shock value.
I've been on a roll with the intros lately, haven't I? Northern New York and fucking...
Actually, we got a lot of messages saying that Northern New York is a thing. It's different than upstate. So, you know, tri-state area stuff, we don't know.
It was completely unintentional.
We need to take like a geography class.
We should need to do a cray-cray trip of the East Coast, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the South. Like, we need to hit the Ozarks. Some Mississippi, Florida.
Do we, after watching this episode, do we need to visit the homeland of Sam?
That's Missouri.
That's the Ozarks,
like,
right?
Midwest. No. The Ozarks are in, I don't know, Arkansas, one of the South ones.
I don't know. I think you're fucking wrong.
Okay, maybe it does melt into Missouri. All I know is that Sam, he's got to convert to Muslim. We've got another convert to Muslim storyline. He needs to learn about Yom Kippur before he converts.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah, that's y'all.
Muslim Christmas.
God. Oh, boy.
I don't know what to say. He bought new pillows. That's good.
I don't know. I mean, growing up in the 90s, I didn't know about anything outside of the traditional cultural American Christian holidays. I knew absolutely nothing. But we also didn't grow up with the internet. So, I don't know. There's something like more disturbing about that now than 30 years ago.
Well, I also didn't have a partner that practiced Islam and was not planning to convert.
That's also extremely fair. Yeah. He's going to convert in literally 24 hours, guys.
His brother is the only person that was like, do you think you might want to learn something about it? Because this is happening real soon.
I was impressed, and I was happy that someone there had a shred of, had something intelligent to say in that entire scene.
It was slim pickings. But yes, the brother, you know, he did recognize.
Still a funny scene, but extremely disappointed that we didn't get any aliens talk.
Oh, it's my number one note, Kyle. My number one note to talk to you about is like, we got all this and like, we got the mom talking about how she loves and accepts everybody, but we don't get any alien talk with the dad. That's all I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't need to see pillows. Although Jasmine, Gino, take note. He bought new pillows for Citra. By the way, I think her name is pronounced Chitra. That's the way it sounds like her family's pronouncing it. I literally think Sam doesn't know how to say his own fiance's name, but that's speculation. I could be spreading lies. So
that wouldn't be surprising considering that he's just about to convert to Muslim.
Yeah.
On Christmas.
Jesus. I'm curious, like, should I become a llama technician? I feel like this is a job that maybe robots can't take over, you know?
Yeah.
What are the daily duties of a llama technician?
I don't think that you could automate that, because much like Poodle, they will kick over the robots whenever they get irritated.
And maybe spit on them, you know?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. I think a llama technician does the grooming to make them appear to be a lamppost of an animal.
I think that's also to get the wool to sell, right?
You also need a demonstration of shoving a carrot in your mouth. That's okay. Very important.
Are you doing the llama? What did she call it? The llama kiss?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not doing that shit. No way.
You know,
seen the teeth on that animal? There is no way.
Look, I'm over 40. There's a lot of things I haven't done. But when you get to be 40, you also kind of accept the things that you've never done, but also have no desire to do, and you're not going to do them for someone else's performance, you know, to just be a performing monkey for someone. And I just would choose to not do that, and I would be content with that choice. Kind of like skydiving, you know? I'm good.
Yeah.
Never done it. Not gonna.
The range of activities that Clayton plans for Annalie are just hysterical, because she even says, she's like, so I'm from the coast. We don't really have llamas where I'm from. It's as if he's like, oh, you know, you're from China. Like, here's some panda bears to make you feel better. Like, what?
Y'all have animals in Ecuador or wherever the fuck you're from, right?
It's as if
wait, Michael, Peru.
It's as if Michael from 90 Day UK, like, took Mossy to, I don't know, see a giraffe to make her feel at home. Like, yeah, we don't in the city.
This is Mike taking Natalie to a French bakery because, hey, it's Europe, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I really thought it was fun. I missed Manuel, I have to say.
I know.
I missed him a lot.
It seemed like Annalie, you know, kind of enjoyed going to see the llamas, but that just kind of shows you how low the bar is, I think.
Annalie will take any opportunity to leave the goddamn house. And
right.
Can you imagine? She's been there for 2 months now, and the only human beings she has interacted with are Clayton, his mom,
and for sister, 10 minutes, his sister,
the llama technician, and then the guinea pigs.
The orchard, like, tender.
Yeah. She is used to, like, it sounds like she has, like, a very vibrant social life. I probably wouldn't want to have sex either, because I'd be really depressed.
Right. She is horrified continually. She sees him playing RuneScape with all his besties with his headphones on.
Yeah.
There is nothing less sexy to my wife than seeing me with headphones on playing video games.
Oh,
so
yes.
I wait until at least 9 p.m. when she is firmly in bed watching Selling Sunset, and sometimes I'll even lock the door. And I'm not even masturbating. It's playing video games with headphones on.
There's been a lot of Zelda happening in my household lately.
It would be better if she walked. If she walked in with my dick in my hand, it would be better than if I was playing video games with headphones on. Okay,
that's all he does all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, it's awful.
Again, they gotta zoom in on his keyboard, and then anyone that is Team Clayton on the sexual relations, I think, will be alleviated of that. immediately.
I've been using Pros for a few years now, since they started sponsoring this podcast, and my hair has never been better. Switching to a custom hair routine from Pros has made my hair healthier, shinier, and I'm always getting compliments. We all have different hair concerns. Mine, for example, used to be dull and very dry, and it grew really slowly. I live in a dry climate, so finding the right moisture level from a shampoo and conditioner, like off the shelf in a drugstore, is really difficult. Pros is made to order hair care customized to your needs, and it's about more than just your hair type. I also don't like the way a lot of store brand shampoo and conditioner smells. With Pros, you get to choose the scent of your shampoo and conditioner. I prefer herby scents, but a lot of people prefer florals. You can really choose how your shampoo and conditioner smells, which is awesome. Pros has given over 1 million hair consultations with their in-depth hair quiz, which is how I got started. I mean, I love a quiz. Who doesn't love a quiz? And taking the hair quiz, of course, is super fun. Pros just asks a lot of questions about your hair concerns and your circumstances. Like, what kind of climate do you live in? Do you color your hair? Did you have a recent diet change? All of that can factor into your customized hair routine from Pros. By analyzing over 85 personal factors, Pros determines a unique blend of ingredients to treat your exact hair concerns. My favorite feature is Pros' review and refine tool, which lets me tweak my formula for any reason in case I change my address or my hair color or even my diet. Like recently, I decided to try balayage, and so I just went into Pros. I was able to update my formula and, you know, did it automatically for me, which was awesome. This makes it really easy to make changes when you decide to go vegan, like in the new year coming up, right? We all have those New Year's resolutions. Or if you move and maybe you move to a colder climate or a humid climate, it's going to change your formula. If you're not 100% positive that Pros is the best hair care you've ever had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. Custom made-to-order hair care from Pros has your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 50% off your first subscription order today, plus 15% off and free shipping every subscription order after that. Go to pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. That's PROSE.com/90dayfiancecraycray for your free in-depth hair consultation, 50% off your first subscription order, and 15% off and free shipping for every subscription order after that. PROSE.com/90dayfiancecraycray.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
All right. Let's hop into this episode a little light, because there's no Manuel. My heart was sad. But you want to start with Gino and Jasmine?
Sure. Gino is terrified of his wife, as we learn, which is fair. And they go bowling, which I was thinking at the beginning that, man, the domestic kind of like lobbying group for bowling interests must be sponsoring TLC. But then Jasmine goes on a whole rant about how bowling is just to get diarrhea, and I don't know why the fuck I'm here, and this is weird, and what's happening. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was a really boring scene. Jasmine says bowling is just an excuse to eat junk food.
Yeah.
Which I agree. And
but it's not like I've had good bowling food at one bowling alley, like, ever. And it was still junk food, don't get me wrong. But, yeah.
Yeah. I'm devastated that there was not more footage of Gino at the strip club. I thought that was teased that we were going to get that this week. And they just it was a big nothing burger. And
we
I
just
am
moved on.
Shocked. I'm so pissed. That's why I think Gino it has more.
It has to be coming at the tell-all. That's because they're gonna. So keep in mind, Jasmine has not seen any of this footage yet. And so I think they must be saving it for the tell-all because they're going to broadcast it to the whole fucking world and she's going to lose her shit and claw him.
I want to see more sepia-toned images of Gino motorboating a stripper and like rubbing her butt.
Sepia-toned like, means it happened in the past.
I was so disappointed. And then they do a lot of like cutting out and flashbacks. Like they didn't show his conversation with his cousin Dana, which honestly must have been so boring.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dana's on Jasmine's side.
Totally.
he's like, well, you know, she just wanted you to be honest with her. It's not about did you or didn't you.
You're a fucking idiot, Gino.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting the viewpoint of people outside the maybe I don't know. Do you know if the whole strip club bachelor party thing is common in I don't know England?
Great question. I don't know like what they do thinking, at what's the male like equivalent of a hen do? I forget.
I was wondering because I was just gonna say like the. The perception of people outside of the United States, and maybe this is a Western world thing, about the male bachelor stag party kind of tradition is really interesting. Just Jasmine's perception of it being this, like, you just have like wild sex with prostitutes just left and right for the entire night is and listen, that does happen. But it is not okay with literally anyone if it does.
No. It's like you go to the strip club, you literally, I mean, in most states, which it doesn't seem like applies to Michigan, you can't touch the strippers, and a lot of them you can't even drink in a strip club.
I wonder if that is I don't think that's a law or something with touching. I think it's more just a etiquette and policy decision to protect the performers. But I could be wrong. Now drinking is very different. Like at least in California, you can't drink with full nude club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a very, yeah. And I there are other states I feel that have that law as well. I can't, anyway, I don't know which ones, but I feel like that's not just a California thing.
I'm sure like it's much, much more restrictive in other places.
Well, it seemed not Michigan apparently, because Gino's I guess we didn't see him drinking. We don't know if he was drunk, but he seemed drunk.
Also, I only say that about the touching because it does seem like rules are relaxed for bachelor party guys, like the future husband. So I don't know if it's like I don't think it's like a law or something.
Okay, well, Kyle, we're gonna have to clearly educate ourselves on.
Yeah, state let's start laws googling right now.
No, we'll do it later. We'll do it offline. So back to the bowling alley. Jasmine correctly assesses that. The bowling alley smells like shoes, farts, and sweat. I wonder if she's ever been. She just described a hockey rink to me. That's like what just I think any, of.
Kind of like rink. Any gym, also.
Just male dominated gym. You know, it's like a curves a doesn't smell room. Like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to fucking barf again. God.
And that you do get used to it. You know, you get in the bowling alley, you have the initial, we're not going to go into bowling economics again, don't worry. You get like the initial like slap in the face with the gross smells, and then you just kind of sinks in, you get used spray. To it. Once you start eating fries, pretzels, nachos, and beer, I was like, I'm not cleaning that toilet either, Jasmine. But don't worry, Gina's just going to shit it all out at the bowling alley. He digests at rapid speed. So.
Right. It's going to move quickly through the process here.
I think we should go on a vacation. Hawaii? No.
To be fair, that is like the most expensive vacation you could take in the United States.
Oh, 1,000%.
So I get it.
Yeah.
Gino, yeah, it is nice that he wants to take her on vacation. By the way, are we going to like revisit any of the drama that was their storyline in the beginning? Like the baby drama, like nope. She doesn't want to have another baby. What about nope. him quitting his job and he supposedly nope. has no money, but now they're going on a fancy vacation to Miami?
Nope.
Are they going to get her kids to Michigan? Have we applied for this no. visa? Can he even sponsor them because he's unemployed? Mm-mm. No?
We move forward at okay. such a breakneck pace. It's funny how like we are conditioned to expect such absurd drama that when they don't have a blowout screaming match, we perceive it as a boring episode. That's funny.
I have it in my notes. Gino and Jasmine are actually having fun bowling. This is boring.
Yeah. Jasmine's happy in Miami. Boring snooze.
She even like strips down in the airport and Gino loves it. I mean, we see him next week like rubbing her ass. Like he's wow. like loving this. So I do think it's funny that like every foreign spouse that's from Latin America on this show just immediately wants to move to Miami upon being in Miami. Like they see Miami and they're like, this is where it's at. We want to be fucking here. Not because, Michigan, not Oklahoma.
I know. I kind of get it though, because from her perspective, it not only like physically reminds her of home, but culturally, you know, she's speaking Spanish to the cabbie. She's shitting on Gino in another language, which is always enjoyable for her. Yeah. And I get it because it's kind of like the best of both worlds. It reminds you of the home culture, but you get supposedly the benefits of living in the U.S.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, Miami's a wonderful, super fun place, awesome place to live. I love it. Do concur, like in my very few short visits to Miami, yeah, you can speak Spanish the whole freaking time. It's pretty just cool place.
I've never been there. I've never been there except on layover.
It feels like vacation. It just, that's yeah. the only way I can explain it. It just feels like fun and sunny and like you feel like you're on vacation.
I have always wanted to go just for like the food.
Oh, it's great. Like you can get any kind of food you want, like Latin American food that you want too.
Yeah.
Great, great place to go eat and hang out and like just soak up the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Miami's awesome.
I got to visit before it just becomes a large sinkhole.
Yeah. I know it is sinking. Ugh. Anyway, Gino's video to Wance. The biggest freaking dork. This was just like, roll your eyes and laugh at Gino. He looks like such a neckbeard dad.
Yo, Quiero, Taco Bell,
Comportate.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. They're very excited about the pool. And it looks cool.
A tiny pool.
It looks cool. I don't care about the size of the pool. I care about the square footage that I have in the pool to myself.
That's true.
Which appeared ample.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's nobody else there. All right. Rob and Sophie. So, whoa.
Jesus.
There's a lot to cover here. Oof, oof, oof. Continuation of Rob's reaction of Sophie telling him that she's bisexual. So a little divided here. My initial reaction was like, Rob saying most women are sexually attracted to other women.
He read that on Reddit in like 2007.
I like audibly guffawed. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is he talking about?
I mean, maybe there's something to the idea that, you know, sexuality being a spectrum, women are more open to exploring that spectrum than men because of essentially homophobia in our society. But I don't think that means that women be fucking other women, you know, or some, it's just, I don't know. It sounds so childish and bizarre the way he puts it.
You can also like appreciate the physical attributes of something without wanting to fuck it. Like Razvan is a great example. Like he is objectively like a beautiful man. But you know, I have
dolphins,
no
dolphins
sexual
are really
attraction
cool
to him.
Dolphins yeah, are really dolphins cool looking. Are, yeah.
Yeah. Goats in Clayton's case. But Rob is like, you think that Rob has a point, right? Like,
not, well, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, sorry. too far. Backpedal.
Hold the fucking phone here.
Boy.
Throw me under the bus.
I'm
Jesus.
Sorry, I didn't mean it like that, but.
Oh, bastard.
No, I think what I was texting you about is like on the very, very, very surface, if someone that you've been with for years and years tells you, I have just discovered something new about my sexuality, I think it's fair to want to really understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much all I said. And also the fact that I think this might have been her just being very frustrated with this entire fucking conversation and just trying to throw something back at him because she was pissed off about how much of a dick he was being. But when she pretty clearly intimated that she might want to explore bringing another woman into the bedroom the timeline, I mean, wouldn't really be relevant for me tomorrow or 10 years. If we're married, we're going to be together forever. She very clearly said, like, maybe I'll want to fuck a chick one day and I'll ask you about that. I would be upset about that. Mm-hmm. I would. But it's like, so that's all I mean. But for yeah. him to be like, well, as long as I get to fuck her, it's fine. Well, like, Jesus. Well, now you're like the worst of all worlds because you don't care. You not only don't care about her exploring her sexuality, but you just want to get your own dick wet with someone else too. So I don't know. This whole thing was so ridiculous. This was exactly what we predicted, which is
he's awful.
He doesn't really care. Outside of the fact that now there are twice as many people he's going to be obsessively paranoid about her cheating with. That's all.
Oh,
this
but
is.
She's the jealous one, he says.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's like, so you've just been looking at women left and right, wanting to fuck them the whole time you've been here. It's like, Rob, how is that any different than her living in a world where men are walking about? Like, you know, she's sexually attracted to men, and yet you're not worried about her looking at any man in the street and wanting to fuck him. It's just so weird.
There's also not a single woman in London. I don't know if you knew that.
He's so threatened by her sexuality. It's embarrassing to watch. I was cringing so hard. He's disgusting, saying like, You're not doing this, Missy. We are fucking another woman if you decide to act on this. And just like the way he made so many assumptions, I think I hate Rob more than anybody else this season. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else as egregious.
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, I think I hate him the most.
I don't know. I think that it is for a, like, I am a very just pretty boring, traditional, monogamist relationship guy. If my wife told me that at some point she would consider exploring another partner, regardless of the sex, I would have a lot to think about and it would be concerning. And I don't know, maybe I would have an emotional reaction and say something stupid. I don't know. But Rob just continues to double down over and over and over again. And he doesn't really process. He just lashes out, right? And he really doesn't consider her feelings or where she's coming from. I think that the idea of her resenting that she is tied to him forever has way more to do with like a deep down concern that he's a shitty husband than that he just has a dick, if that makes sense. Yeah. But he will never admit that to himself. It's just, it's all paranoid. It's all, me. And she says something I think that's really important. She says eventually that this, like me exploring my bisexuality isn't about you.
Yeah.
As long, I mean, and obviously the caveat being as long as I don't like fuck anyone, but, yeah, very frustrating conversation to watch. It was kind of odd, but again, I think she was very upset, and I get it. She said 5 seconds after she said, I would consider banging another woman, she says, I would never be okay with you doing it. It's disgusting. But I don't know. That seemed hypocritical, but at the same time, like, I get she was pissed off.
Yeah. She's also drinking a giant gallon of water the whole time. That was very distracting. I mean, this thing is like a pastel colored gallon jug. What the hell is going on?
I was watching that and I was just thinking, wow, Rob actually doesn't own any glassware. That is just his jug of water that he brings to the gym.
It was very, she's very hydrated if she's drinking all that water. Very much. I can only imagine there's some liquid IV in there. So,
Right.
Yeah. Which I've been really into lately. It's very tasty. Ring shopping. I have never wanted to crawl out of my skin more than watching this fucking ring shopping. What kind of gold are you looking for? The cheap kind. None of those fancy rings.
Cheap gold. Whatever's cheapest. Whatever looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah. It's like, Rob, what do you realistically think a wedding band costs? He wants to spend no more than $500 on both rings. And then he continues to pick out a ring and just be like, she'll have that one. He doesn't ask her opinion about anything, even though she expressed she wanted rose gold, which apparently he can't afford. This is just embarrassing. And he just walks in guns blazing. This is a defense mechanism because he's self-conscious that he doesn't have any money.
He's still angry. Yeah.
And he's angry. And he's just like taking it out on this poor ring guy who thank God has been prepped by production that they're filming. So he knows this is going to be weird. So
it's automatically going to be weird. Right. Look, if you've listened to us for more than 5 minutes, you know that we don't give a shit about rings. But what's so stupid about this is like in a normal situation with someone that's not a dumbass, you would come in and you would say, look, here's my budget. What can you do? You wouldn't say, I want cheap gold. Oh, that's way too expensive. A normal person would explain it to the fucking customer service person whose job it is to get the best thing for the budget that you have. My budget's $500 for both. There's nothing like wrong with that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that Sophie clearly didn't know what the budget was either, because these people don't fucking talk and he's a dumbass.
She tried to ask him like 2 episodes ago and he was like, no, just nothing crazy. And she's like, well, what does that mean? $5,000? And he's like, no, that's, I don't have that kind. It's like, okay, well, just tell her a number. Also, right. It is also curious if Sophie really is as rich as they've made her out to be and like the spoiled child, why doesn't she just buy her own ring? That's what I would have done in this situation.
Yeah, at no point during the season has she really talked much about money, which I think is the sane, normal person thing to do. Again, like she's way more normal than they kind of painted her to be in the season previews, because she doesn't really flaunt wealth at all. But she's also I think she's just a traditional, like she expects Rob to pay for it, you know.
Where is her mother? We have been waiting for Mother Sophie to arrive for like 3 episodes now.
I think that the last 4 episodes have occurred over the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Need a wedding band, cheap gold, none of these fancy looking ones, crazy looking price points. Oh, so embarrassing.
And then he starts unloading his feelings on this poor guy.
We have still problems.
Learning. I just learned something about her this morning. It's crazy. Okay, cool, dude. Awesome.
I would have literally left immediately. I can't believe Sophie just stands there and is a good sport and like indulges him and picking out the ring that he wants and her ring. I would have like left the store. This is so cringy and embarrassing.
He picks the ring and she, I don't know. Do you think that she actually likes it? Because she was a way better sport than obviously either of us would have been. She really grinned and bared it. And then when he picks an actual ring, she at least pretends to like it.
Unless a big middle part of the scene was edited out, it feels like within 2 minutes, she goes from having to endure this endless embarrassment that Rob's putting on to being like happy-go-lucky, fight over by the time they pick the rings. And I just don't understand how emotionally you can let somebody off the hook that quickly.
We've seen that time and time again with their season.
I know.
Yeah.
She's 23. Keep having to remind myself she's 23. Ugh.
How many times have I talked about sleep on this freaking podcast? It's endless. I've got machines. I've got wearables. But still not great over here, guys. I found a natural product, though, the other day that helps solve some of those problems. And it's called Soul. I work long hours. I got a day job. I do this freaking podcast for like 10 hours a week watching trash. And not only that, I have a kid. So powering through all that shit makes it hard to wind down for me. And turning my brain off can sometimes seem completely impossible, which is why I'm so happy that our podcast is sponsored by Soul. Soul was founded 4 years ago by a brother and sister duo, Mike and Angie Lee. Mike is a former world-ranked professional boxer, and Angie's an author and professional speaker who have the desire to create natural alternatives to medicine that tackle problems they deal with themselves, like sleeplessness, anxiety, focus, and pain. I am completely obsessed with Soul's best-selling sleep aid, Sleepy. It's helped over 6,000 people fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed, myself included. I used to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning every day and go to the bathroom and then just sit there wide awake, thinking crazy thoughts. It also doesn't taste like Uncle Joe's weird brownies. It tastes amazing. Plus, it comes in 3 different varieties, blueberry lemonade, raspberry lemonade, and honey chamomile. So you can finally enjoy sleep that tastes much better than any other product you've choked down in the name of health. Soul makes more than just sleep products, whether you're looking for stress relief, enhanced focus, or pain relief, or they have lots of stuff even without CBD. Soul is setting a new standard in CBD products. Every batch has undergone multiple rounds of stringent third-party lab tests to ensure their products have an accurate dosage, plus no heavy metals, pesticides, or harmful bacteria, which is a huge deal in this industry. Not sure what Soul product is right for you? They have a quiz that guides you to the right choice based on your CBD experience level, age, and what issues you're actually trying to solve. And Soul is grown right here in the USA, organically farmed and gluten-free. So it's time to get the sleep you deserve. Head to getsoul.com/craycray and use code craycray to get 20% off your order. That's 20% off your order using code craycray. One last time, getsoul.com/craycray, code craycray for 20% off.
Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? If you wake up too hot or too cold, I highly recommend you check out Miracle Made's bed sheets. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets. No more gross odors. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands and feel as nice, if not nicer, than bed sheets used by some 5-star hotels. They're also designed for your skin. Stop sleeping on bacteria. Bacteria can clog your pores, causing breakouts and acne. Sleep clean with Miracle. Go to trymiracle.com/craycray to try Miracle-Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code CRAYCRAY at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's back with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/craycray and use the code CRAYCRAY to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/craycray to treat yourself. And thank you to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
You want to talk about Citra and Sam?
I do. I do want to talk about them. This was, I don't know. I think Citra and Sam and Clayton and Anneli, who we'll talk about next, I think that they kind of stole the show this episode just because Citra and Sam, we just met. So there's a lot to still learn about them. They haven't seen each other in 2 years. That was a pretty big piece of information.
It's quite a while. And it's all... Dude, whenever I look at Sam, I just think of Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Kind of looks like Hank Hill's body with Boomhauer's head.
It's just like a millennial dad reference.
Man, like you're way too young to have that kind of body shape. It just looks like he's so skinny fat. It's crazy.
He's not that tall either because he says that Citra is like really short, but he's like 2 inches taller than her.
Yeah.
I think he's like 5'3". He's really small.
A lot of people agreed with our take that there's something else going on there with the addiction. Definitely looks like some kind of either jaw surgery or meth mouth. And clearly there was a drug arrest. Do you believe his story about the drug arrest?
I don't know. I don't know enough about like how, I don't know how to, whatever, however he pronounces this drug, I don't think it is correct. I know it's spelled like S-U-B-O-X.
Suboxone.
Suboxone, yeah. So I don't know how it's dispensed. And I don't know.
It's weird. It's like, I was thinking about it and the way that he described the crime that he was accused of, I'm committing that crime literally right now. Like
please explain.
Well, the way that he described it is that he was arrested for having a prescription without the bottle.
Yeah, but it's a controlled substance. It's not okay, just any like, prescription. It's okay. Like carrying oxys outside of your prescribed bottle. Like you can't do that. It's not really? Like carrying like a blood pressure medication. Yeah, because it's a controlled substance.
Okay. All right.
Like you can't have Vicodin just like floating around in your purse or like you got to have it in the container.
Okay. When her dad gets here, I'm going to a mall. What are you talking about? These people didn't know that he was going to convert to Muslim, Kim.
They did not know. I don't think Sam knew until like this conversation.
He didn't know about until 10 minutes ago when her father sent him just like a frowny emoji or something. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Sam thinks he's converting to Judaism because he's still praying Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Oh, Sam.
Like way easier to convert to Judaism or to Islam, but you know, a little bit more of a bar, of actual things you have to do in my experience.
Somebody did call out that we saw this. Who's Blondie's name with the guy from Egypt?
Oh, yeah, Nicole.
Nicole. She converted, like they did mention, like she converted very quickly and still knew, she didn't even know how to pray. No, so like, I guess like they just kind of let anybody in.
Neither will he. I mean, I think yeah. Sam is genuinely like really into her. This feels like a real couple. It yeah. is just, this kid really lost half his life to addiction, and he just really isn't all there mentally, and he just is, his development stopped a while ago, and I hope that, I don't know, like I hope that I was thinking about how to feel about this, like I was thinking, like I hope that he treats her well, but then I was thinking like, is he even capable of respecting her religion? Like how, I just don't know how this is going to actually work.
It, yeah. I mean, what, how can you respect something you don't understand? I mean, he could have respect for her like faith, but he clearly doesn't know anything about it. I mean, he doesn't even know if she celebrates Christmas. Like
he got her the prayer mat, which is sweet, but he doesn't,
for him, right?
Oh, I thought that he got it for her.
Oh, maybe.
But he doesn't even have the most basic first paragraph of Wikipedia knowledge about what he's getting into.
Yeah.
Which is really concerning because this is just such a big part of her life. And he doesn't seem all that interested in it. I've talked about before where, you know, in my previous marriage, like I was totally down to convert if it was something that made her happy. Mm-hmm. But I was also honest about how I would feel about the spiritual aspect of it.
Right. Believe in aliens and that's never going to end, but you will go through the steps if it makes the marriage right. work.
And I'm curious if that is the way that he is going to approach this with her, or is he going to, because I don't think that he's going to actually like buy into the spiritual aspect of it. So is he going to tell her that? Is he going to tell her, listen, I'm only doing this as a formality. You have to understand that. I'm down to raise our kids in the faith, but you can't expect me to start believing in your God. Would she be okay with that? Will he even tell her that? I'm kind of curious on how that's gonna go, because he does not seem intellectually curious about it at all.
He knows that you can't drink.
Yeah, that's that no much. Good. As he's drinking a Corona.
I know. He knows you can't have sex before marriage and you can't
drink. I'm a horny little bugger.
Did he say something when he had the pillows? Did he say we're going to make lots of white and Indonesian babies? I forgot to turn on the subtitles and check, I was like, oh, what did maybe. You just say? I don't know that for a fact. I should have turned on the subtitles, but yeah. So like the business trip, first of all, what business trip? You're a doc worker, what business trip were you on with a coworker when you got pulled over? I do believe, like, if Suboxone is not in the prescription bottle, I do think that is like illegal. You know, you're on medication assisted treatment, like you have to keep that shit in the bottle. So they offered him a diversion program. This is where to avoid jail time, which is great. Like that's exactly what should happen. This is not a crime. This is addiction.
I guess it can be technically both, but I agree with you that this, unless the guy, I mean, if you've listened to our Love After Lockup podcast at all, you know how we feel about incarcerating people for drugs generally, but I at least like understand the justification if he was like smuggling a shitload of it, right?
Sure. It sounds like a little bit of it just floating around in his car.
Which it would
like,
be.
Whatever.
Asinine to put someone in jail for that.
Yeah.
But
waste of public resources, quite frankly.
It seems like they gave him every opportunity
This is where I struggle.
He
missed the deadline to file the application. What the fuck were you doing, dude? Like,
which is like such a lockup plot line, too. I feel like we've seen this two or three times.
Especially when you know what's going to happen. Like, you've been to, like, you know what's going to happen if you miss this deadline. And it's just, that's really bad. Dad seems really pleasant in the footage we've seen of him. They're trying to paint him to be this, like, hardcore police officer guy. Like, Sam's mom's reaction.
He might kill me because he's Muslim.
Yeah, Jesus. It's like, okay. But Dad seems perfectly pleasant and, like, a happy guy. He's encouraged. It seems like he's encouraging of his daughter to move to the U.S. That's something.
It seems like he's good with pretty much all of this as long as Sam does what he perceives he's supposed to do.
Which is convert to Muslim. So, yes.
Right. And totally sell it, like, light the Hanukkah candles, you know?
Yeah. It's literally the only thing her dad cares about. I mean, you have to remember, too, Dad has probably met him. He traveled to Indonesia.
Right. Yeah.
And they've also been together for 3 years, and she hasn't hidden him from her dad. So while they're painting him to be this hardcore guy, Dad knows this guy and has probably talked to him a number of times. So anyway, you want to talk Annalie and Clayton? Let's do guinea pigs.
Whenever I think that my wife is homesick for good old California, I make sure to take her to a petting zoo with fish. And she just pets fish, you know, because we used to live kind of near the ocean. And then she feels better.
It's just like the Monterey Aquarium.
100%. It's exactly. I just take her to a fish market. Look, babe.
They're dead.
It's like L.A.
This is, yeah.
Touch them.
The Chiron with llama technician just killed me. This is a 90-day legend from now on.
Yeah.
Annalie has the ick because Clayton is completely isolated and Annalie sees the future and it's Clayton becoming his mother.
Exactly.
This is why she won't fuck him because he's going to turn into his mom.
Yeah.
And it's so clear.
That sepia-toned flashback of Clayton bitching about the kitchen being dirty and implying, like, do something about this, Annalie, and then his mom chiming in and being like, yep, that was Annalie's mess. There is not a single person on the planet that is ready for sex ever again after that. That is...
Especially when she's bathing the guinea pigs and cleaning out the guinea pig pens.
And just having this dog bark at you for like 8 hours a day. I mean, what the fuck, dude?
Also, we get a better view of like the pens of the guinea pigs and dogs. It is like an entire wall of this tiny apartment.
It's a whole room. It's a whole room.
It's like and they are stacked and there's still like six cages or... It takes up an unbelievable amount of real estate. And as Annalie pointed out, and I didn't really like have this sink in until I got a better view this episode, there's no couch. There's no like living area. There's no place to relax and sit. It's like the bedroom, the guinea pig quarters, and then the mom closet. And then the kitchen. That's it. And mom calling her out and saying, like, I was waiting for her to clean up her kitchen mess. I'm like, bitch, you got shit everywhere. What are you talking about? Oh, I would have been out. I'm out. I hope Annalie does not marry this guy. She needs to go home.
It's really bad.
It's bad.
Yeah. I mean, maybe people were calling me crazy, but he still doesn't fit the definition of an incel.
No, he doesn't.
He's just absolutely beyond clueless about women. Or just like having, that's not even women. It's just having a romantic partner, dude. Yeah.
Or humans. He doesn't even have friends. Like, he doesn't have any relationships outside of his mom. Like, I guess you can count like Cameron is like but he is nervous to even meet this guy in person.
Right. Look, I have virtual friends. I have people I've only met once or twice or never, mostly just through this podcast. But man, like I would have no nervous feelings about meeting people because I don't know, but maybe that just means I'm not an introvert. But he has just, I don't necessarily even think that he's an introvert. We just don't know enough about him. It's simply just the fact, I don't think it's any more complicated than he has set up his life in a way that he never has to leave his bedroom to get enough fulfillment for himself. He plays video games all day. I think he's lazy. I don't think he cares too much about really anything except those virtual worlds and experiences, and that's enough for him. But he cannot put himself in a place of empathy for Annalie, and that's a huge problem. He doesn't get it. It's not like he's saying, Annalie, I completely understand why my lifestyle is not something that you would enjoy or want to imitate. So let's go out and let's get out there, and I'm going to get outside my comfort zone and try to expand my horizons to kind of meet you in the middle. He doesn't do that because he doesn't know how to be in a relationship.
He doesn't know how to be in like any type of relationship though. This is worrisome. I mean, we could have a whole philosophical conversation of, you know, the loneliness epidemic and like our virtual friends as fulfilling as human.
I don't think he perceives himself as lonely.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't, because he's like, yeah, Cameron's my best friend. But there is something, it is a problem that he doesn't, she wants to go have experiences and go, you know, have a life, and that life includes other relationships and humans outside of Clayton and his mom. And she's not getting that. And she's just not going to be happy.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear Kyle and I talk about 90 Day Fiancé the other way and other reality TV? Or maybe you just hate ads? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about other shows in the 90 Day franchise, and occasionally other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed, either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign-up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month, so about the cost of a Starbucks, and it's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice, especially with Supercast. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about 1.5 to 2 hours long, where we discuss all the couples and 90 Day gossip with no ads, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, any other 90 Day shows that are currently airing. Currently, that's 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, or Toe, Season 5, and The Family Chantel, Final Season. And we occasionally chime in on Plathville, Gold Bachelor, some other stuff that's going on in reality TV. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com.
All right. That's it for the episode. I guess next week, you know, do you have any last thoughts? I'm excited to see, you know, Gino appreciating Jasmine's new butt, finally. She worked hard. She paid a lot of money. He paid a lot of money for it. So let's enjoy it, Gino.
Yeah. God, what else happened on the next time on? I already completely forgot.
Clayton and Annalie go to meet Cameron, which should be interesting.
And then Sam tells Chitra that he's fucked.
And he's going to jail.
With her kind of standing on a curb. That kind of felt like a strange environment to have that conversation, but whatever.
Take her to have a meal. Get some food in her belly before you break that one on her.
Like, totally.
It's always a good approach.
Make sure there's a chocolate cake on the table, you know?
We're at the part two where we're having like wedding dress try-ons. Like Ashley is in this dress and like a crown. It looks very fancy. She's I didn't got, think that.
It's kind of yeah, like a, mom. like a Virgin Mary type halo on, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't wait to see it. I love to see this shit. I just need Manuel. Please come back in my life. I missed you so much. That's my final thought about the episode is I need Manuel in my episode. Please come back to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much to our sponsors. I know we have Pros Personalized Hair Care. Visit pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. You get 50% off your first subscription order and 50% off every subscription after that and free shipping. It's a pretty incredible deal for that one. So check it out.
Another one of our sponsors is Soul CBD. You get 20% off at getsoul.com/craycray and use code craycray over there too.
Yeah. And on Tuesday, that's where we have our Patreon or premium podcast episode. If you're a Patreon or Supercast subscriber, we'll be covering the second part of the Toe Tell All. It's a three-part Tell All extravaganza if you aren't watching. And this week's is going to be 2 hours of Toe Tell All. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we have the series finale of Family Chantel already.
So the like final episode of the entire series. And yeah, I think it was only a 6-episode season. They it will be finishing the Family Chantel in DR with a giant gangbang. So stay tuned for that. Super and pumped. Otherwise, we will be back next Monday with episode 11 of season 10.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Bye. Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5 either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.